بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقال أمير المؤمنين في الحديث الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى: حدثنا محمد بن عبد العزيز قال حدثنا عبد الملك بن الخطاب بن عبيد الله بن أبي بكرة البصري: لقيته بالرملة قال حدثني راشد أبو محمد عن شهر بن حوشب عن أم الدرداء عن أبي الدرداء رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم قال: أوصاني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بتسعين: لا تشرك بالله شيئا وإن قطعت أو حرقت، ولا تتركن الصلاة المكتوبة متعمدا، ومن تركها متعمدا برئت منه الذمة، ولا تشربن الخمر فإنها مفتاح كل شر، وأطع والديك وإن أمراك أن تخرج من دنياك فاخرج لهما، ولا تنازعن ولاة الأمر وإن رأيت أنك أنت، ولا تفرر من الزحف وإن هلكت وفر أصحابك، وأنفق من طولك على أهلك، ولا ترفع عصاك على أهلك، وأخف في الله عز وجل. حضرت ابو الدرداء رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam advised me regarding 9 things. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a bequest of 9 things. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave me 9 advices. When an intelligent person makes a bequest or he gives an advice to someone, then it is always something very important and very beneficial. The person who will carry out the bequest or the person who will follow the advice will benefit greatly, and the one who will ignore it will experience a big loss. Here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is giving the advice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making the bequest. Who is the most intelligent in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who received ilm and knowledge directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is advising one of his most prominent students, the eminent sahabi Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So one can understand the importance of the 9 advices contained in this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The very first advice is related to aqeedah. La tushrik billahi shay'a, do not associate anything as partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن قُطِّيتَ أَوْ حُرِّقْتَ. Even if you are cut to pieces or even if you are burned. So even if you are cut to pieces, even if you are burned, do not change your aqeedah. And make sure that your heart and mind remain steadfast on the aqeedah of Tawheed. If there is fear of life, then you may utter the word of kufr, you may utter the word of shirk, but your heart must remain steadfast on the aqeedah. So do not ascribe anything as partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you are cut to pieces, even if you are burned, even if you are killed. Remain firm and steadfast as far as your heart and mind is concerned. And if you are able to remain steadfast even with your tongue, despite the Sharia giving a leeway and ruksa, that in such circumstances where life is in danger, you can utter the word of kufr, as long as your heart is content with your aqeedah, despite the Sharia giving this leeway and this ruksa, if a person chooses to remain steadfast on this aqeedah with his tongue as well, and give his life away, then he will be resurrected amongst the great martyrs on the day of Qiyamah. So, لا تشرك بالله شيئا وإن قطيت أو حرقت. Second advice, ولا تتركن الصلاة المكتوبة متعمدا. Never abandon the fard salah, the compulsory salah, intentionally, deliberately. If a person forgets to perform salah, for example, he was unable to perform salah with jama'ah because he was unwell, because he was engaged in something which was very necessary, or because he was traveling, and he thought, I will perform my salah later on. And thereafter he completely forgot. And he only realized after the time for that salah had elapsed. For example, it was the Zohar salah, and he realized after Asr or after Maghrib or after Isha that I have not performed Salatul Zuhr today. Then he has not missed this salah deliberately or intentionally. Forgetfulness, completely out of his mind. Or a person went to sleep at 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, and he made all arrangements to wake up for Zohar salah. Alarm, or he asked somebody to ring him, call him, wake him up. But due to some reason, he went into a very, very deep sleep, and he did not realize anything or anybody waking him up. And he woke up after the time of Salat had elapsed. So he woke up after Asr, after Maghrib, and he realized, oh, I've missed my Zohar, I've missed my Asr. So a person either misses his Salat due to forgetfulness or due to sleep. And unconsciousness is also a type of sleep. So due to sleep or due to forgetfulness, a person abandons a Salat, then he will not be sinful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that one who abandons a salah due to sleep, he makes all arrangements to wake up, but he doesn't realize the alarm is going off, but he doesn't realize that it's time for salat. Maybe he hears the alarm, but he is not fully awake. He does not realize it's time for salat, and this I had set this alarm for salat. So he's deep into sleep. He doesn't realize it's time for salat. Somebody wakes him up, he doesn't realize. So one who omits his salat due to sleep, despite making all the arrangements to wake up, or one who omits his salat out of forgetfulness, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when this person wakes up, or when this person remembers and realizes that I still have Zuhr to perform, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that he should perform his salat there and then, because for him the time of that salat is the time when he remembers, when he realizes, when he wakes up. So he will not be sinful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here we are talking about somebody who is awake, who realizes it's Fajr time, and he goes back to sleep thinking that I'll wake up after 10 minutes, after 15 minutes. We have somebody who knows, I still have Zuhr to perform, I'll perform it after 15 minutes, after 20 minutes, after 30 minutes, after 15 minutes, a little while, and he misses his salat. Or, intentionally, he doesn't want to perform salat. So there are those who intentionally do not perform salat, and there are those who intentionally push the salat slowly, 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 until the time is over. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that such people are in great danger. Because after iman, the greatest farz in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is salah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna awwala ma yuhasabu bihi al-abdu yawm al-qiyamati as-salah." From hukukul ibad, the greatest obligation, from hukukullah, the greatest obligation after iman is salat. It is for this reason, the very first thing reckoned on the day of qiyamah from hukukullah will be salat. And from hukukul ibad, the greatest obligation is to make sure that you do not take somebody's life. So on the day of Qiyamah, the very first thing that will be reckoned for from the hukukul ibad, from the rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be the taking of somebody's life. Inna awwala ma yuqda bihi yawm al-qiyamati ad-dima. The very first thing that will be judged and that will be reckoned for on the day of Qiyamah will be taking of lives. So hukukul ibad and hukukullah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salah, sawm, zakah, hajj, the very first thing that will be reckoned for on the day of Qiyamah is salah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is saying, لا تتركن الصلاة المكتوبة متعمدا. Do not never abandon farz salah intentionally or deliberately. Why? Because you will make a very big loss. Big loss in this world, big loss in the hereafter. Big loss materially, big loss spiritually. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, man fatatuhu salatun. The one who misses any one salah, fajr, zuhr, asr, maghrib, isha, any one salah, whoever misses one salah, any one salah, faka'annama wutira ahlahu wa madahu, it is as if his whole family has been taken away from him, and all his property has been taken away. It is as if he's lost all his property and all his family. Imagine a person left without his wife, left without his children, left without his parents, left without his brothers, sisters, left without his home, left without his factory, left without his shop, left without his land. Somebody who owns everything and does not have anything in the next minute. Imagine the condition of that person.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the person who omits any one salah, who lets the time pass by and he makes it qadha, then it is as if he has lost everything. So what about those people who miss more than one salah on a daily basis, who miss all five salah daily, who have been missing salah for weeks and weeks, months and months, years and years? In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has said that one who is particular in regard to the five times salat, then these five, this performance of five times salat regularly will be Noor, Burhan and Najat for him on the day of Qiyamah. It will be a source of light on the day of Qiyamah. His face will shine. The parts of his body which were washed whilst performing wudu will shine. His face, his hands, his feet. There will be a special shine in his eyes. And when everything will become dark, when the time of crossing the Sirat will come, then he will find light whilst crossing the Sirat. Salat will become a means of nur for him on the day of Qiyamah. It will become a means of burhan, evidence for him. It will become an evidence that will grant him success in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during reckoning. And it will be a means of salvation for him on the day of Qiyamah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further said, one who is not punctual in regard to the five times salat, one who does not look after the five times salat, who doesn't perform five times salat, who neglects salat altogether, or who performs a few and neglects the others, or who comes to perform salat but does not perform salat as he should perform. For example, there are so many musallis that we see in this day and age who omit the obligation of qira'ah. When you see them, their lips don't move. So they are imagining the Suratul Fatiha. They are just reading in imagination. They are just reading in imagination the surah that follows Suratul Fatiha. I see many people, not intentionally, sometimes the gaze falls on somebody and you suddenly wonder as to why the lips are not moving. And when you look carefully throughout the salah, in the first rakat, second salah, then the lips are not moving at all. And afterwards, when you talk to them, then they realize that, yes, I've been doing this for months. I haven't been reciting the Quran. So they are performing salah, but the salah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not being accepted. It is as if they are not performing salah. There are people who do not perform ruku and sajda. They kneel down, they bow down, they prostrate, but in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their ruku is not valid. Because they go into ruku, Allahu Akbar, Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, Sami Allahu liman hamida. They do all this in one motion without actually becoming motionless in ruku for at least the duration of one Subhan Rabbi al-Azim. So if a person does not become motionless for the duration of one time Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, then his ruku is not valid, and ruku is fard in salat. Without ruku, the salat is invalid. Same in sajda. They don't realize that whilst going into ruku and getting up from ruku, we are doing everything. Whilst going into ruku and getting up from, we are not staying in ruku for the duration of saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim once. So they will begin saying Allahu Akbar for me, Allahu Akbar, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Allahu liman hamida. They don't realize that we are not performing ruku. So one should say Allahu Akbar, go into ruku, become motionless, and then say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Sami Allahu liman hamida. There, become motionless and then say Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Allahu Akbar. Go into sajda, become motionless and then say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. There will be a difference of 5 to 6 minutes in each salat. But at least the salat will become valid in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those people who do not perform salat, whose salat does not reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they may be performing salat, but without wudu. They may be performing salat, but because they do not know how to do istinja properly. What entails a istinja? So maybe their wudu is not valid, their clothes are not clean, their body is not clean. Sometimes a person urinates just before salat and he is in a hurry because he wishes to catch the jama'at. So very quickly he goes into the lavatory, he urinates, he comes out of the lavatory and he performs his salah. But in the passage there were a few drops that had not come out yet. So after performing wudu or during wudu or when he is coming towards the masjid or when he goes into ruku, when he goes into sajda, during these motions, a drop comes out. His wudu is broken, his wudu becomes invalid. And if wudu is invalid, his salat is invalid. It is for this reason, it is very important that we associate ourselves to ilm and the people of ilm. We sit in their gatherings, we listen to what they have to say, we read books written by authentic, reliable ulama, and where we feel that we need clarification, we turn to the ulama. All the time, ilm, 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 ilm. We should be concerned about ilm. Acquire ilm, increase ilm. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those people who do not perform salah, that means whose salah does not reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for them, there will be no noor on the day of Qiyamah. Their faces will be dark. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ اسْوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ فَفِي النَّارِ. And the people whose faces will be dark will go in the fire of Jahannam. Their faces will be dark. There will be no shine in their eyes. They will not be able to see in the darkness on the day of Qiyamah, on the Pul Sirat. Suffering, 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 suffering. Salat will not be in their book of deeds, so there is no burhan. There is no evidence which will become the foundation of them being given their book of deeds in the right hand. And because there is no salat, no najat. When the people of Jahannam will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah, after the day of Qiyamah, when the people of Jahannam will be thrown in Jahannam, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What has landed you in the fire of Jahannam? They will say, because of this, 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 we are in Jahannam. What is the very first thing they will say? لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ. We did not perform salat. We did not perform salat. It is for this reason we are here. And further, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that such people who neglect salat will be on the day of Qiyamah with Firaun, with Haman, and with Ubay ibn Khalaf. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith is advising Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and through the medium of Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, he is advising the whole ummah.
لا تتركن الصلاة المكتوبة, never, never abandon, never leave, never forsake the fard salat intentionally, deliberately. The men should try to come to the masjid before the time of Adhan. If not, then at least 10 minutes before the time for Jamaat. If not, at least 5 minutes before the time of Salat. We should make it a point. As soon as Adhan is called out, leave everything. And the ladies at home, as soon as Adhan is called out, they should leave everything and perform Salat. Ladies are more in danger than the men. Because psychologically we feel that Salat is at 2 o'clock, so I have to prepare myself for Salat at 2 o'clock. I have to read Jamaat. Ladies, let me get this out of the way. Let me get this out of the way. Because they don't perform Salat with Jamaat, they perform Salat at home. So ladies should make a point that they will perform Salat as soon as the Azhar is called out. Everything afterwards. Perform wuzu and perform the Salat. There are so many ladies who are religious, pious. They perform all 5 times Salat regularly, but all their Salat is performed in the last 10 to 15 minutes. They will drag on with their work, and they will perform their Salat in the last 10 to 15 minutes. During cloudy days, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majma'in used to advise the people that perform Asr early today. Because in those days they did not have clocks. They did not have watches. So they didn't know what time the sun is going to set. And if it is a cloudy day, you may feel that the sun has yet to set. The sun has yet to set. And it is possible that by mistake you may make your Asr Salat Qadha. So they would say, Bakkiru bis Salat. Bakkiru bis Salat. Perform your Salat early today. Perform your Salat early today. As soon as the time for Salatul Asr arrives, quickly, as soon as possible. And the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majma'in had so much attachment to Salat that even if a salat was omitted, a salat was missed due to a very, very valid reason, it used to hurt them greatly. When we study the books of Ahadith and we find incidents where the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majma'in missed a particular salat due to Shari'i necessity. For example, during a battle, the Sahaba Rizwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majma'in during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were unable to perform Asr Salat. Because the enemy kept them engaged. And if they abandoned the battle, then everybody's life was in danger. So during such moments, the responsibility of Salat in its time is absolved. It is a valid Shari'i excuse. Despite that, when you look at the ahadith and the wordings of what the Sahaba Rizwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majma'in had to say during those moments and what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said during those moments, you can understand the attachment they had for Salat. And nowadays, without Shari'i, valid Shari'i reason, we omit Salat, no feeling whatsoever. Even those people who perform Salat regularly, if a Salat is missed, no feeling, no remorse. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تتركن الصلاة المكتوبة متعمدا. Let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will perform all our Salat regularly with inshallah Takbir-e-Tahreema. With Takbir-e-Tahreema. Sayyid ibn Musayyib rahimahullahu ta'ala, it is recorded regarding him
that he performed all his salat with takbir-e-tahrima for continuously, according to one narration 40 years, according to another narration 50 years. For 40 years, for 50 years, he did not perform a single salat in which he did not participate with the imam right from the beginning. Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, rahimahullah ta'ala, once came to Deoband and he participated in the Jalsa of the Darul Uloom Deoband. And whilst coming for a salat before the Jalsa, after the Jalsa, people were shaking hands with him. So he did not miss a rak'ah. He participated in the salat. But after the salat, when people saw him, all his happiness had gone. There was a lot of grief on his face, as if somebody had passed away. So somebody inquired as to what was wrong with Hadrat. Before salat, he was perfectly okay. After salat. So I cannot remember correctly. I mentioned this incident a few weeks ago, whether it was 25 years or what. He said, in 25 years, this is the first time where I could not enter the salat with the imam. So when the imam said Allahu Akbar, in 25 years, this is the first time where I joined the first rakat, but not with the imam, not with the takbir tahrima. And the culture in our days is, even when I am entering masjid, I see many brothers making this mistake. It is due to sheer negligence. We see some brothers on the notice board. And the iqamat is being called and they are still reading whatever they want to read on the notice board. I am entering the masjid and brothers, when they notice me, the salat has already started. Takbir has already taken place. The imam is reciting the qira'ah. And they come forward and they want to shake hands with you. They want to meet you at that time. Assalamu alaikum, how are you? Why? Because the psychology is, I need to join the salat before the imam goes into ruku. And if the sharia had given us the leeway, that as long as you join the imam in sajda, you will not have to repeat that one rakat again, then we would not have hesitated in joining the imam in sajda. The only reason why we rush for ruku is so that we don't have to get up again and perform that extra rakat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will try to perform salat with jamaat with takbir-e-tahrima. And each of us will try to perform salat in the first row, as near as possible to the imam. Of course, leaving 3-4 spaces behind the imam for people of knowledge. Because sometimes the need arises where the imam has to leave the congregation and he has to appoint somebody else from the congregation to continue with the salat. And if the person behind the imam does not have enough knowledge, he will not know what to do in those circumstances. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that intelligent people should stay behind me in salat. لِيَلِينِ مِنْكُمْ أُولُو الْأَحْلَامِ وَالنُّهَى. Intelligent people with ilm, with intelligence, with fiqh, they should perform salat behind me, right behind me. So leaving 2-3 spaces for ulama, for people of knowledge, we should try to perform salat as near as possible to the imam. During salat times, we see so many brothers, even on Fridays, that they come and they try to sit right at the back. They do not want to cross the pillars. They want to remain behind the pillars. And on Friday, many brothers cause so much inconvenience to the people who come late. Because when they don't find space at the back, behind the pillars, then they sit in the pathway, near the doors. And people are unable to enter and come at the front. 3-4 sufu are always empty on Fridays. So why is it that when we go to a football stadium or any other functions, we want to be right in the first row? And when it comes to salat, we want to remain in the last row? So try to be as near as possible to the imam. That should be our target. So first serve near as possible to the imam. If not, then second serve. If not, third. So first is better than the second. Second is better than the third. Third is better than the fourth. Fourth is better than the fifth. Fifth is better than the sixth. I want to perform salat in the first rows. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if the people knew the reward for performing salat in the first row, then they would argue so much during every salat that we would have had to draw lots to decide who should perform salat in the first row. But here, so much neglect that a person has come 10 minutes before salat, he takes his seat in the second row, despite there being so much space in the first row, and when the salat begins, he will not move from his place and he will let the other people who have come late and take their place in the first row. Because we don't know what we are losing out on. If only we knew. So let us become greedy for rewards in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the tawfiq, because I am also very weak. May Allah grant me and all of us the tawfiq. Whatever we say here, whatever we hear, it is for the benefit first for the person who is speaking, for the person who is there. Everybody should look at his life first, and thereafter we will try to convey this message to as many brothers, as many sisters as possible. So our aim should be to perform salat with jamaat in the first row with takbir-e-ula. And if due to circumstances we were unable to join the jamaat, then we should try to perform salat on its time wherever we are. And if due to shari reason or our neglect we have missed the salat, then as soon as we realize that I have missed salat, we should make qada of it immediately. Not leave it for tomorrow, not leave it for the day after. Our mashayikh and our akabir, they were so particular in regard to salat with jama'ah that if in one locality, like in Leicester, we have Zohar at 12:40 at the academy, and at 12:45 in Masjid-e-Noor, and 1 o'clock at Masjid-e-Falah. So if they arrived at the academy and realized that the salat is over, they would try to go to Masjid-e-Noor. And if they felt that no, we would not be able to catch the salat at Masjid-e-Noor, they would try to go to Masjid-e-Falah. Not like us. That there is an incident of one of our pious elders that he was very, very particular regarding salat with jamaat, and one day he missed salat. One day he missed salat with jamaat. So he went to another masjid from the first masjid. The salat was completed. He went to the third masjid, fourth masjid. I am talking about Deoband. So grief, pain. And he wanted to make sure that I perform salat with jama'ah and with the first jama'ah, not second jama'ah. So he suddenly realized that there is an abandoned masjid on the outskirts of Deoband. Abandoned masjid. Sometimes many masjid get abandoned because of neglect of the people. So abandoned masjid. For many years, no salat is taking place in that masjid. So he found 2-3 people who had not yet performed salat. He went into that masjid, he cleaned that masjid and made that masjid capable of being salat being performed in there. And he called the azan out, the iqama, and he made jamaat in that masjid. Why? Because they understood the value of salat just the way we understand the value of gold, silver, diamonds, pearls, pounds, dollars. May Allah grant us all the tawfiq. The sisters at home, immediately, as soon as the azan is called out, perform salat. Let us also try to perform the sunan, especially sunan muakkada, sunan ghair muakkada, also nawafil. And let us also contact our respected muftis and try to calculate the number of salah that remains on our heads. And slowly, perform them and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. I went to meet one of our musallis who is unwell, make dua for him that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him good health. Just yesterday, he has been my musalli since the time I came here. In fact, he was my father's musalli also. He performed salat behind my father. So he performed salat behind me in Masjid-e-Noor. And thereafter, when this masjid was erected, he used to perform salat here. And I went to see him yesterday. He was unwell. And whilst I was sitting with him, I remembered that one day he was sitting in one of the discourses where I mentioned Qada Salat. And he took it upon himself to calculate the salat and absolve himself of this responsibility. So he contacted an alim, a mufti, one of our imams, and he began. And they were in thousands, not dozens or hundreds, in thousands, maybe over 100,000. But as he progressed, maybe he may have begun with 5 salat per day, then 7, then 8, then 10, his zeal increased, the worry of the hereafter increased, and there came a time, I also used to see him perform many salat, before salat, after salat, there came a time when he was performing 100 salat per day. And alhamdulillah, after a few years, one day he came to me and he said, that alhamdulillah, I have completed all my qada salat. When a person desires something good and he strives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him barakah and Allah ta'ala makes it possible for him to accomplish what he desires. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, never abandon fard salah intentionally, deliberately. Why? Because there is so much loss. Woman tarakaha mutaammidan, one who abandons salat intentionally, deliberately, bari'at minhu zimmato, he will lose the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will lose the security of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will absolve himself of the responsibility, from the responsibility of that person that Allah had taken upon himself. Now, whether he remains honored in this world or not, Allah does not take any responsibility. Whether he remains happy in this world or not, Allah does not take any responsibility. Whether he passes away with iman or not, Allah does not take responsibility. Whether he is saved in the grave, Allah does not take any responsibility. On the day of Qiyamah, pul sirat, reckoning, Allah does not take any responsibility. Allah absolves himself of the responsibility that he had for his servant. And if he performs salat regularly, then Allah will take responsibility to look after him, to safeguard him, to look after his rizq, to look after his well-being, his needs. Allah will save him from calamities, from illnesses. And if calamities and illnesses strike, Allah will safeguard him from grief, from anxieties. Allah Ta'ala will grant him special sabr from the heaven. Allah will safeguard his iman at the time of death. Allah will safeguard him from the punishment of the grave. Allah will safeguard him on the day of Qiyamah, at the time of reckoning, on the Pul Sirat. And Allah will grant him entry into Jannah. Imam Abu Dawood and Imam Ibn Majah, رحمهم الله تعالى have narrated a hadith Qudsi from our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that O my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I have made 5 times salat compulsory upon your ummah. And I have made a promise. And that promise is that whoever looks after the 5 times salat, one who is punctual, who performs them according to my wishes, I will definitely grant him entry into Jannah. And I have also made this promise to myself that the person who does not perform 5 times salat regularly, who is not punctual with his salah, then I hold no responsibility for him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So again, let us listen to the first and the second advice. La tushrik billahi shay'a. Do not ascribe anything as a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you are cut to pieces or burnt. And never abandon the fard salah intentionally, deliberately, because the one who abandons it deliberately, intentionally, will lose the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, responsibility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, security from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will not remain responsible for him, neither in this world nor in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to do whatever we have learned from this advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa la aqibata lil muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salam ala rasulihi sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا مقبولا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم اخر لنا واختر لنا ويسر لنا أمورنا وألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.